Good morning. Thank God that we can gather to worship Him this morning. I trust you all are doing fine, enjoying the steadfast love of the Lord. We shall continue our journey in the book of Acts this morning. The working of God is exciting. Stories of it are worth telling widely. The working of God in you can make others misunderstand you. Rumor, like the wind, will blow about. You, living in obedience to the way of God, will provide juicy news for people to spread rumors about you around. People will gossip that you are out of order. The working of God will usually give you wisdom to be flexible in some situation and uncompromising in others. You can die to self to follow some customs, but firm in matters of doctrines. The working of God can get you into serious trouble. The suffering, when it is inflicted due to the working of God in your life, will have the favor of God. The working of God does not end in one event. God continues to work to accomplish His purpose in your life. One experience will give meaning and purpose to the next experience. The story before us today in Acts 21, verse 16 to verse 40, can help us to understand something of the working of God in our lives, in terms of obeying Him in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to all peoples. The gospel of Jesus Christ is unstoppable when God is at work. I'm going to give you one word for each section. I trust by giving a word to each section of the narration will help you to remember the story for your own spiritual benefits. The five words are report, ritual, rumor, riot, and reason. Let me repeat the five words again. Report, rumor, ritual, riot, and reason. May I ask you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 21 and follow me. I shall read the relevant portion on each scene and say something about it and draw a lesson from it. The report, Acts 21, verse 16 to 20. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. After greeting them, he related one by one the things that God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified God. And they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed. They are all zealous for the law." The last time Paul was in Jerusalem was in Acts 15, at the famous Jerusalem Council. After a few years of absence, Paul is excited to come back to Jerusalem. I believe he has at least two reasons for coming back to Jerusalem. The first reason is to tell the church in Jerusalem of the marvelous works of God. God has been doing great works as Paul and his team went about preaching and spreading the gospel, establishing churches, and strengthening church leaders. The second reason is to give the gift to the brethren in Jerusalem church. The gift is the collection from the churches outside Jerusalem to help the needy in the Jerusalem church who are facing a famine. So when Paul reaches Jerusalem, James, the chairman of the Jerusalem church, gathers the church leaders to meet with him. In that gathering, Paul would probably say something like this: "Since the last time I was here, many things have happened. God has been continuing to demonstrate the power of the gospel in changing people, making them followers of Jesus Christ. I and my team have been used of God to speak and spread the gospel. Many churches were established, and many church leaders were appointed and discipled and strengthened, and they are doing well. The gospel has been going to many places, going to places where people there heard the gospel for the first time. The Jews in those places were convinced by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah. The Gentiles, the non-Jews, that means every other races, were persuaded by the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ is their hope. Here are some of the wonderful works of God. I planned my itinerary and I let God lead me. Like this time, I wanted to go to another city in Asia to preach the gospel. But God, in a dream, changed my plan. In a dream, God moved me to cross to Europe and preach the gospel in some of the major cities like Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, and Corinth. Many people, both Jews and a lot of Gentiles, became followers of Jesus Christ, and churches were started. And these churches are growing through pain and joy, but nevertheless maturing in Christ." I'm sure Paul will not fail to tell the gathering of God how God bring him into contact with people like Priscilla and Aquila and Apollos, and the great contribution these people have made to the spreading of the gospel and strengthening of the churches. How can Paul miss telling the experiences in Philippi, in which, where he was in jail? The jail gates were opened wide by the earthquake, and subsequently a jail officer and his household became disciples of Jesus Christ. Or the revival in Ephesus, in which many turned to worship the Lord, started a big bonfire and burned up all the religious items used in their past. And of the riot erupted, and how God preserved his life. And the signs and wonders God performed in many of these places. And on with the exciting stories of the working of God. Hearing Paul's report stirs the excitement of the leaders of the Jerusalem church. They praise God for working so powerfully in turning so many people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. What can we learn from this part of the meeting of Paul and the Jerusalem church leaders? We learn that it is always exciting to tell stories of people becoming followers of Jesus Christ. people being brought into an intimate relationship with God. From this report, I want to say that when we are stirred by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would have a lot of exciting stories to tell. The rumor, Acts 21, verse 21 and verse 25. And they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our customs. But as for the Gentiles who have believed, we have sent a letter with our judgment that they should abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and for blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. There is an issue that is upmost in the minds of the church leaders. They were extremely concerned of a rumor. This issue is tabled at a meeting even before Paul could finish doing what he has come to do. They interrupt Paul. I believe Paul is about to tell them that he has also come with a collection for the churches to help the needy in Jerusalem church. Paul's plan is frustrated. He is not able to proceed to tell them of another good news. A careful reader of the account will wonder of the absence of any mention of the collection for the needy. Now about the rumor. The Bible seems not clear as to who are the ones spreading the rumor. But there is this rumor going around that Paul has been telling the Jewish Christians not to observe the Jewish customs. Especially the rumor says that Paul has been telling the Jewish Christians to abandon circumcision. This accusation is serious. And that's why it's so upmost in the minds of the church leaders. It carries a thought of Paul teaching the Jews to rebel against the Jewish tradition. In that sense, we understand the anxiety of the leaders. Well, at least one principle is affirmed. The leaders have reaffirmed that what was agreed at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15 still stands. The Gentile Christians will not be asked to observe the rite of circumcision. They do not need to undergo circumcision to prove that they have eternal life. That is, the Gentile Christians will not be asked to observe the Jewish customs. Now, it may look like a bit disappointment to us that the church leaders are more concerned with the rumor than the exciting stories of changed lives. I want to suggest to you that Luke, the writer, has another purpose in mind. I want to suggest to you that he wants to show that man's disappointment is God's opportunity to demonstrate his power of carrying out his plan. We cannot read this portion of Acts by itself. We have to see it in the context of what follows. This is out of my reach now. I leave it to the next few preachers. From this part of the scripture, I want to say that when we are stirred by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are bound to be misunderstood by people, even by Christians, sadly. The ritual. Acts 21, verses 22 to 26. What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come. Do therefore what we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow. Take these men and purify yourself along with them and pay their expenses. so that they may shave their heads. Thus all will know that there is nothing in what they have been told about you, but that you yourself also live in observance of the law. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them, and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification would be fulfilled, and the offering presented for each one of them. The church leaders came up with a recommendation to allay the rumor. They tell Paul to perform the ritual of purification to show that he has not forsaken the Jewish traditions. You see, Paul has been away from the temple and has been in the Gentile world for many years, so he is considered unclean. In order to be able to enter the temple again, he has to perform the ritual of purification. This ritual requires Paul to report to one of the priests and follow his instruction. And to make the process more demonstrative, Paul is recommended to pay the cost for the four men who are fulfilling the Nazarite's vows. Presumably, these four men are Jewish Christians who are keeping their Jewish vows. Paul takes the advice of the church leaders and starts immediately to comply with the requirements to purify himself so that he can keep his vows and enter the temple with clean hand and clean heart, and most of all, to show that he has not discarded his Jewish traditions. I suppose in our minds, we would like to ask the question, is Paul giving in to human persuasion to do something he would not personally want to do? Is he being inconsistent here? We need to know that Paul has not abandoned his religious Jewish custom upon becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. In Acts 18, verse 18, we read that Paul himself took a vow a few years before. We must not forget what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:20. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those who are under the law, I became one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. His actions in Jerusalem are consistent with the approach expressed in these verses. And one more thing. Paul is very strong in keeping the unity of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. He is willing to be flexible on a matter that does not compromise any major doctrine. Paul has died to self and has a love that does not insist on his own way. 1 Corinthians 13:5. To Paul, the unity of the church is so important that it is well worth it paying the price in order to preserve it. So Paul proceeds to perform his vows in the temple. From this section of the narration, I want to say that when we are stirred by Holy Spirit to share the gospel, we have to be wise to know when to be flexible and when to be firm. We don't stop practicing our agnostic traditions when we become Christians. And most of us are Chinese, so we don't discard our Chinese custom and traditions when we become Christians. The riot. Acts chapter 21. Verses 27 to 36. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up by the whole crowd, and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place." Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they had previously seen Theophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city. And they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple. And at once the gates were shut, and as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune, to the cohort, that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. When they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying, "Away with him." From Acts 21, verse 27, we can see that the people who ignite the riot are the Jews who live outside the city, the country of Israel. Many of them probably were extremely angry with Paul when he visited their respective cities. Remember, Paul would always, every time when visiting a new place, he would first preach the gospel to the Jews, either in the synagogue, if there was one, if not, a gathering of Jews in the open. And very often, the Jews would reject Paul, and then Paul would go to the Gentiles. That means go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And that infuriated the Jews. And there's this strong possibility that the Jews from Ephesus are the ones who set the riot on fire. They want to finish what they could not do back in Ephesus, Acts 19. So the rioters drag Paul out of the temple and start beating him. They intend to kill Paul, as permitted by the Roman authorities. The Jews can kill a Jew for bringing a non-Jew into the inner courts of the temple, or a non-Jew for entering the temple. Word gets to the Roman garrison, which is a short distance from the temple. That's why they could arrive on the scene so quickly. The commanding officer, upon hearing of the commotion, immediately leads his troops to the scene. Wanting to investigate the reason for the violence, the commanding officer asks the crowd. The rioters do not really know what they are doing. Anger distorts their perception. They assume Paul has brought in a non-Jews into the temple just because they saw those two together a few days ago. Anger blinds their eyes. They give conflicting answers. And these answers confuse the commanding officer. The commanding officer concludes that it's best to protect Paul, and so gives the command to his soldiers to bring Paul back to the barracks. From this part of the story, I want to say that when you are stirred by Holy Spirit to share the gospel, you may suffer for it. Sharing the gospel can cause problems and inconveniences. Finally, the reason. Acts 21, verses 37 to 40. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, that is Aramaic, saying, now, Paul has a way of finding opportunity to share the gospel in the most unlikely situation. This is what we see in this part of the story. In a tight spot, Paul usually has the courage and the wisdom to get the chance to speak for his Lord. It is really amazing. Now he's being led away, or should I say, being carried away as a prisoner. He boldly asks for permission to speak to the angry crowd who wants to kill him, who wants to do away with him. And yet, in boldness, he asks for permission, obviously under the protection of the Roman soldiers, to speak to the crowd. The commander of the Roman garrison is surprised that his assumption is all wrong. He thought the mob is agitated by his prisoner, this Egyptian, who previously had attempted to start a revolt, and now coming back to start another revolt. After learning that Paul is actually a Roman citizen of an important Roman city, he gives permission to Paul to speak to the mob. This gives Paul an opportunity to give his testimony. Now you will hear his testimony in the next sermon. The point you can take from this part of the narration is that when you are stirred by Holy Spirit to share the gospel, you will be given wisdom and courage to find an opportunity to preach the gospel, even in difficult situation, even in a situation that is not favorable to you. God will give you the wisdom and the courage to seize the opportunity to share the gospel. Let me remind ourselves of some point we can take home from Acts chapter 21, 16 to 40. The report shows us that when we are empowered by Holy Spirit to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will have a lot of stories to tell. Let us ask God for more stories to tell. The rumor shows that when we are enthusiastic to do the will of God, we will hear rumor about us that we have gone radical, that we are out of our mind, that we are doing insane things. That should not deter us from telling people of the good news of Jesus Christ. They need it. Rumor will not kill us. Rumor will not destroy us. The ritual shows us that living in obedience to the way of God does not mean we do away with the tradition that we have grown up in. It does mean we want to be spiritually sensitive to know when we can be flexible and when to be firm. That we, in all situations, will find the opportunity to share the gospel. The riot shows us that sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ can often get us into trouble. If this is the reason for us not sharing the gospel, it means we are not worthy of the name of the Lord. And lastly, the reason shows us that life is not lived from one completed event to the next, with no overall and interrelated purpose in them. Every situation we go through adds to the next step I will take, and together, eventually, we accomplish the purpose of God for us, for me. In other words, all experiences, events, and situations are related, are interconnected, and they add up to accomplish the purpose of God in our lives. I live one whole life with all the experiences interrelated to each other to accomplish the purpose of God for me. Whatever happens when the Holy Spirit works in me, I will have the courage to seize an opportunity to share this gospel. During these trying days, God moved some members of WEFC, of Woodlands Evangelical Free Church, to reach out to the various sectors of the community. Normally, the members will let the church staff initiate activities or projects, which probably a common word for us. Now, in this difficult situation, the lay people, the people in the congregation, they obey God and initiate and run some activities to serve as witness for Jesus Christ. I don't have the time to share with you now. You can log in to the website of WEFC, wefc.org.sg, and read the Go Bless initiatives. Let me close in prayer. Eternal God and our Heavenly Father, we need you to stir our hearts to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is unstoppable. Embolden and empower us to be obedient to your calling upon our lives. Help us, O God, in all situations we will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we'll have a lot of stories to tell, not afraid of rumor, not afraid of suffering, willingly be flexible to keep whatever traditions that will help us to preach the gospel in any situation, knowing that everything we do is interrelated and will bring glory to your name and accomplish your purpose in our lives. So, Father, we ask all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.